7. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
We have a lot of specials today. Our children are going to sing for us now. If you want to come forward, Miss Heather. Thank you, Miss Heather.
If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God would solve it. And I'd never know what faith in God could do.
Families that have already started to take their vacations and are not with us today, let's be prayerful for them. Let's pray that the Lord will bless them in their travels, that they'll be safe and they'll be able to be back with us as soon as they possibly can. But I hope that the Lord will also bless them with the thoughts about us, that they're missing being with us. And I'm thankful that we that are here today, that we don't have to miss that. We are able just to come together in this service today and be ready to worship the Lord. This is Memorial Day weekend. And one of the things that I want to kind of bring out very quickly today is in this Memorial Day, we set this side of month in this country to remember our soldiers. Well, really, we not only our soldiers, my mother called it just the month of memorial for everyone. She always thought it was proper that we have decorations in May. She thought it was proper that we remembered our loved ones that had passed on. And it is true, that is a good thing for us to remember all of these things. The ultimate sacrifice is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died that we might have salvation. And that's the other thing that we need to remember each and every day. So let's keep that in our minds today as we go through this Memorial Day weekend. Throughout the remainder of this month, let's keep those things in our minds and on our hearts about these things. Now, I do have one quick announcement that I'm going to make today. And that is, we announced last week that there is a family in need. And we're going to have a special offering today. Today. And
let's keep that in mind today and be prayerful for that family that this need will be met. First of all, we may not meet it completely, but let's pray that it'll have an effect upon that need. And we have others in the church that are in need, and we as the church, the pastor, and the deacons, we've been looking at different
things. So keep those in mind that are in need. Now, the next part that we all know
about is those that need prayers. So let's keep them in our prayer list today too. And I'll start out by, we used to have our young people to come, our young people to come up and read the prayer requests in Sunday school.
Noah, if you would.
Good morning, everyone. So the birthdays this week are Natalie Hollingsworth and Ethan Scott. And Jennings, Tim, and Mona Wetherington. The prayer requests are to pray for Sister Barbara's friend Irina, who passed away. Brother Tim and Donna's stories need prayer. Sister Kelly's friend who needs salvation, and Brother Key has a friend who's in dire need of prayer. Pray for the troubled youth that might have something bad on their mind, and pray for
And I'll say this, not only
things like that, but any sin. We have that in our churches today. We see it all the time. Our people have different sins on their mind. And we need to pray about them, that the Lord will help them, especially these that are thinking about taking a life, whether it's their own or somebody else. We need to pray that the Lord will help them.
But it's going to take our nation returning back to God. That's what it's going to take for us to see a reduction in these things. With that being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you.
sing it just that pretty, with emphasis and joy on this last verse.
Thank you.
singing his praises.
Be lost, and then I got to looking, and they. But on Tuesday night, we went back on Tuesday night, and there was a young man there that I thought was saved. I put it that way. And we was a little ways into the service, and I he stood up. He said, "I've just got to tell this." He said, "I've had this on me for a long time." I thought he was fixing to tell he's called to preach. But the words that came out of his mouth was, he said, last night on my bed, I got saved. And that was what counted. And he told just a little bit, but he was in the back of the house, and everybody started praising the Lord, we'll say, and somebody said, come up, shake hands with him, and everybody started going around, and one of the... And it was pretty, and I told it here Wednesday night, but the thing that I had never... And he said, when I got saved, he said, it felt just like the knot came loose. Pop your fingers. He said that's how it sounded to me. It just popped. I never heard that before. That time. There's a few that gets close to each other, but everybody, the experience, it's the same, but it's different. And that's good because it makes it ours. If we all had the same, basically, testimony is what I'll call it. It's ours, but it's not just ours. We'll say it that way. But when we tell it a little bit different, it makes it that much better because so say the youth weekend down in West Tennessee, they've had four different ones on it. To get saved down there today. So keep that in mind if you would. Does anybody else have anything before we go any further? If you want to turn with us to read. One verse, you're going to have to put up with me reading today. So be prayerful for us as we try to stand today. And I asked you to please remember me in this message today. Let's remember each other. This service. There is circumstance. What we want it to be. Let's pray that those prayers will be answered. In the way that the Lord sees fit. So let's be about God's business. Reading lesson, as we said. Verse 25. And they ask him. Ask him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he who said, after me, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptized. record saying, I saw the Spirit descend and it abode upon me. And remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. That's verses 24-34 for our reading lesson today. And I ask that you be prayerful. That is with my mistakes in my reading. But I ask that you be the Baptist, he has already been asked, are you the Christ? Are you that prophet? Who are you? And they had asked that question. Here they had said to him, then why are you baptizing? Why are you doing these things if you're not that prophet? If you're not these things. He said, if you're not him, why are you doing these things? And he starts to tell them about the Christ that is coming. Now, in the fact that we see what I want you to realize today is that what John did basically pointed the way to Christ. When Jesus showed up the next day, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Christ, or pointing out Jesus, whichever way you want the way to put it. When John saw Jesus, it was the same thing as him looking out, said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold, there is Jesus. Behold, there is the Christ. Behold, there is the Messiah. And so today what we are looking at especially is pointing out Christ. I want to show you in the Word of God where that was the theme of the new church. Of the people in Jesus' day and after his day. How that they pointed out Christ unto the people that were about them today. I want this to be an example to us today that we would also point out Jesus. Now, one of the things that we realize today, if you're about people that, I'm going to use the word religious, is what I'm going to call them. These people in a lot of different places, that they're talking about their church, you tend to see a pattern with many of them. Yes, they'll mention the Lord. Yes, they'll talk about him in many ways. This is not the basis of my sermon. They had done. Well, on our way to church Wednesday, she played it for me, and she got my phone out, done the search, pulled that guy up, and she played it for me. Now, I ain't saying go look for this guy, no, by no means. The message was okay, that's fine. But the next time I had to do a search, guess who popped up? Noah's Ark was basically what it was. And as I was looking at it, I thought, I think I'll listen to this and just see what he said. And everything that he was pointing to was to his church. Didn't have anything hardly about Christ or about Jesus in the message. And I'm kind of like, it's all about your church is what you're talking about. And I just kind of thought about that a lot. Now, like I said, that had nothing to do with this message today, other than to say, who are we pointing out today? Are you coming into this church, and Lord help you if you're doing this, pointing towards the preacher up here, saying, he's the one to listen to? Yeah, you got to listen to me. I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor. Pointing to me. Today. Today, they might say, well, did God allow this to happen? Yep, he allowed it to happen. Why did he allow it? Now, I'm going to answer it this way. You may disagree or you may agree with me. If you don't agree, that's fine. But I'm of the opinion we reap what we sow. We do. We reap what we sow. You may think that doesn't sound like a good answer. But we have seen over the last several years, let me back up and probably go back at least 30 years, and truthfully, I go all the way back into the 40s is what I tend to do. I was asked this question the other day, and I said, during the 40s, we started seeing a falling away in many ways. First of all, the family was with the families. Many mothers left the home and started working publicly. That was not the general rule, but nowadays we see that as a general thing. Ladies, I'm... seeing a movement away from God. We saw a generation of people that started lending to the lust of the world. And we saw that progressively moving forward and moving faster all the time. Many people thought at the 60s, time of the 60s, there was a lot of people that had in their minds, if they could just take certain drugs, it would answer all the questions that they needed. Whether it would help them mentally or just take everything away from them. Many of them it took away as far as death was concerned. During the 70s, these things progressed. Yes, yeah, some of them backed away. Some of them got a little worse. These things kept the building up. And now we are in a state in which that God is left out so much of the time. We saw prayer taken out. We saw people say, you can't even pray in a ball game. We saw it where that people says, you shouldn't even say anything about God to this place, in that place. You shouldn't say nothing to me about God. I don't believe in God. Why should you tell me about him? Down the road, and they'll see a memorial of a cross, and they'll say, I don't want to see that. They shouldn't allow that to be done. That shows Christ, and I don't want to believe in Christ, is what they'll say. So who are we pointing out today? Who are we pointing out today? We should be pointing to Christ as John pointed to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Behold, he is here before you today. John not only made that statement that day, that was the
day when that Jesus came to be baptized
that day for him.
and dwelling upon him, he is that one that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now you think about this. He is making this declaration. And you know the story, how that when Jesus was baptized, behold, the heavens were open. And John saw the Spirit of God descending upon him in the form of a dove. And lo, a voice from heaven said, behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, this was a proclamation, if you want to call it that. It was a thing of God to say, look to this man. Look to my Son here. Look at who the Spirit is abiding on. Look at him today and see that he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Now, as you're looking at this today, I want you again to realize that if you read farther, and John again said, now the next question is when you've had Jesus pointed out to you, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, yep, that's him? How many of us do that? Well, he's here. You know, many times we go into a church service and we start to see God pointing. Jesus and praising God. And in that, we say, yep, that's the Lord. But what are we doing? The next day when Jesus was there where John was, John said it again, behold the Lamb of God. He didn't put the last part on there, that taketh away the sin of the world. But he said, behold the Lamb of God. And there was two disciples that were standing close by. And they followed Jesus. Now, the first thing today, if we're going to be pointing Jesus out, we need to follow him ourselves. Now, I know today that's not the easiest thing to do, is to pick up your foot, move over, and take another step. I want you today to have a desire to follow the Lord today. I want you to want to take up residence with him. For the next question that was out of them or out of the Lord is, what seek ye? Now, why are we seeking the Lord today? If somebody has pointed Jesus out today, what are we seeking? Well, 95% of the people that are saved, what we would say was, well, I wanted to be saved. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted to know that I had eternal life. I wanted to know those things is what I wanted. But these men, they didn't say that. Well, first of all, we know that they'd already been baptized, and John had done asked them their testimonies. From what we read in the scripture. So they were not interested in just getting saved. You're saved today. What are you wanting out of the Lord today? What seek ye today? I've got a reason for this. Sounds like I'm going away from my message today, but listen to us today. What seek ye today? When Jesus asked them that question, Lord, where do you abide? Day. Is it not a smart idea? Yeah, they'd heard the testimony of John the Baptist. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." They saw it twice. I think they saw something happen that day at the baptism that made them realize, yeah, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. But they wanted to know more about Jesus. He said, "Come and see." And they abode with him many days, is what the scripture said. And as he was talking with them, tells us that one of these men was Andrew, Simon Peter. But he does have one thing that he did do. I don't believe it was the only thing he did, but we see one thing that he did do. When he had left the Lord, he went and found Simon Peter. Now, I always thought, well, this is the next day. You know that? I did. I always thought that was the next day. Now, I want you to remember that Andrew and Peter lived about 60 miles away. 60 miles away. And it said, Galilee. Galilee was. It was about 50, 60 miles away from where they were at. And it says, and Andrew found his brother, Simon Peter. And he said unto him, Simon, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We have found the Messiah. Listen to what he was saying. We found the Christ. Have you found the Christ today? Do you know somebody that needs him pointed out to you? Now, the scripture doesn't tell us a lot about Simon Peter's reaction at that time, other than when he met the Lord shortly thereafter, I believe, that Jesus said, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonas, thou shalt be called Cephas," which is interpreted a stone. That's all it says about that meeting. Now, we know later on that when Simon Peter and Andrew were fishing, the Lord told them to let down their nets for a draught of fish. They hadn't caught anything, but now they caught more than their nets could hold. They caught more than their ship could hold. They actually caught more than their partnership could hold. The other man that was there with him that day that followed the Lord was a man by the name of Philip. Now, Philip was also one of the apostles. You don't hear much about Philip either. But one thing you do hear about him, it says that Philip was a man that lived in Bethsaida. And it was the city of Andrew and Peter. They were all friends, you might say. They knew each other. One of the most important things that anybody in the Lord's church can do is just to say, "I found the Lord. I found Christ. He saved my soul." That's one of the reasons I love to see just one of the kids when they got saved, not just right when they got saved. I want them to tell about it when they get saved, but I like to hear them get up, "Thank the Lord for saving my soul." You know, a lot of young people, they don't want to tell. They just want to say, "Thank the Lord for." part of the story is this. You're going to run into skeptics. You're going to run into doubters. And Nathaniel was a doubter. Maybe not to the extent of Thomas later on, but he was a doubter. And his words was, what good thing can come out of? What good thing can come out of Murfreesboro? A lot of people would say about this church, big, beautiful building, yeah, but what good thing can come out of that? They'll think, well, what can come out of good out of you Baptist people? What good can happen with these things? If you point out the one that you need to point out, there'll be great things that will happen. The Bible tells us, Paul doing the speaking, Paul said, I've planted, Apollos, he watered, but it is God that giveth the increase. You never know when you're casting the seed. You don't know when you've got the water for that seed. But it'll be God that gives the increase is what I want you to see today. It is God that will take your point and will make it a beautiful land. Was beautiful when that you were born into the family of God. It was a beautiful thing to see that. And the great thing about it is it's still growing and it's still flourishing and it's still blooming. There are trees that blooms nowadays and we look at them and we see them in the wintertime, and yeah, we see a live tree there, but there's no leaves. It looks dead, and yet there'll come a bud, and that bud will come out to a leaf. Sometimes those leaves. These trees bring the increase. God gave that. And God gives that. But the fact of the matter is, it is up to us to give, to point the way, to point out Christ to them. Now, looking at a little different stage of this today, if you go to the book of Acts, this is after Jesus was dead and gone. Again. Our Sunday school lesson today. God has called you. Oh, it may not be a calling like I have as far as the preaching is concerned, but when God saved your soul, He called you to point the way to somebody else. He did. Started doing a little bit of a history lesson to what they the Jews had done there in Jerusalem. And he said, you witnessed these things. But he pointed to one thing. Him being delivered by the determined first chapter of John, first John, first chapter. How did you believe? You heard it. How do you tell somebody else about Jesus? You tell what you heard. Which we have seen with our eyes. John had the privilege of seeing Jesus with his own eyes. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Of the word of life. And notice that word there is capitalized. Remember in John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the word capitalized and speaking about Jesus. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness. Which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. He was talking to them about Jesus, pointing the way to Jesus. He wasn't talking to them about himself. He wasn't talking about the group of men that Jesus lived down here. He was talking about the one man that could save all souls. He had witnessed his power. And he says, he didn't use the same words, but he was saying, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. When we talk to these that are lost, are we pointing out Jesus? Huh? Are we? Take a few minutes. Yeah, you need to believe Jesus. Yeah, you need to believe that He is the Son of God. Or are you telling them, behold the Lamb of God, which takes. Let me do this better. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That behold. It's meant for those that are seeing and hearing it. It's meant for them to take notice. Look. If you've been standing in that crowd today with John the Baptist and you didn't see Jesus walking up, and he said, just behold the Lamb of God, would you have looked? Would you have looked? Somebody walking in with a gun today, aren't they? If I said, hey, there's a guy with a gun, somebody would say, did he say, well, there's a guy with a gun? Hey, he has one. But if I scream it out, there is a man with a gun, you look. Behold, the may have heard about it. Yeah. See what all the commotion was about? No, I don't really think so. You know why he wanted to get up there in that tree sin? Look at the words of Jesus. Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide in thy house. Was that house his literal house or this house? He did abide. Somebody appointed him to Jesus. He knowed enough that he could save his soul. You think about that today. Let's make it where they believe it when they hear us say that. Don't forget the last part. Yea, even your own life, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, you got to give it all up. We got to make it believable to them. While we stand and sing today, I hope you listened to the fact Jesus is that Lamb of God.
Favorite.